I invite you to John chapter 17. John chapter 17, where we're going to start off the sermon by reading one verse of Scripture, John 17, 17. But I want to encourage you to keep your Bibles open. I will be referencing other passages of Scripture, reading other passages of Scripture to you, and we will come back to John 17, 17 as we study together this morning. Today we're going to begin a three-week series on homosexuality and gender. And I'll explain in just a few minutes why we're looking at John 17, 17 this morning. Next Sunday morning, we'll look at a passage of Scripture regarding sexuality. And then the following Sunday, we'll look at a passage of Scripture regarding gender. And that Sunday evening, which will be the first Sunday of September, we'll have a Q&A. So if you have a question, a practical question about these issues, a biblical question about these issues, then I encourage you to write those down, get those turned in to the church office, and we will try to address as many as we can on that evening from the Scripture. So I know it's only one verse, and I know it's just a few words, but I'll go ahead and invite you, if you are able, would you please stand in honor of the reading of this verse of Scripture. This is coming from John 17. This is called the High Priestly Prayer of Jesus. This is the prayer of Christ to His Father on His way to the cross. And He's praying for us. He's praying for those who are in Him and who will follow Him. And He says these words, "Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth." Thank you. The foundation for life. I would encourage you to mark that verse. It's a very foundational verse of our understanding of Scripture and its purpose, how God uses it. Would be a good one to treasure up. If you're looking for more verses to treasure while we are reviewing treasure verses, this would be a good one. Let's pray and ask the Lord to help us. Father, we are beginning a time, and for the next 3 weeks, we're going to be looking to Your Word to help guide us and give us understanding and strength and courage and freedom and salvation and life, specifically regarding the issues of homosexuality and gender. Issues that are very relevant, Father, for the day in which we live. There's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of deceit. There's a lot of deception. There's a lot of ruin. We need Your truth. We need Your word. We need Your spirit. We need Christ. We need the gospel. And thanks be to God, You've given us all of those things. So we're asking, Father, that You would help us as Your people, as Martin has just encouraged us to be the light. If there are any areas in which we are called today to shine the light and be the salt, for sure it's these areas. So Lord, help us. Give us understanding. Give us passion for truth, passion for people. Give us, Father, a conviction, a settledness in our hearts and in our lives concerning the Word of God in our lives and in the lives of others. Again, Lord, we just need your help. And we depend on it, we ask for it, and we believe, Father, that you are always faithful. Please move in our hearts and our lives today to build your church that your name might be glorified. Do great things, Father, that we might greatly glorify you. We ask it in your name. Amen. So the title of the series is Homosexuality and Gender, God's Good Design and Purpose. And today we're looking at a text on the Word of God, and we're going to be spending our time really talking about God's Word today to begin this series. And the reason for that is really given in the title, The Foundation for Life. The question for us as we begin looking at issues that are so prevalent and pressing and emotional, issues that we are all being touched with today, the question really is what is going to be our foundation? What are we going to build our life upon? What is going to be our guide? Today's message, I hope to compel you, but more importantly, I'm praying that the Spirit will convince us that the Scripture, the Bible, God's holy Word is to be the foundation of our life. We're building our life on something. What I mean by that is we are operating our life. We are living our life based on something. We're banking on something, and we're operating according to that understanding or to that set of rules or beliefs. We have a belief system that we are working, that's working out in us. What is that? Is it the rock of God's Word, as the Bible speaks of, or is it the shifting sand of other foundations? And if we are not grounding our lives, that's all of our lives, not just these two issues, but all of our lives. If we're not grounding our lives in the life-giving, soul-saving authority of God's Word, then we really have to ask the question, if that's not our foundation, if that's not where we anchor our lives, if that's not what's guiding us, what's helping us make decisions and navigate life, then what would be the point with sermons on homosexuality and gender? In fact, what would be the point of any sermon if the Word of God is not where we are centering our lives? If it's not the guarantee that we're hoping on, resting in. If it's something else apart from the Word, then there really is no need for us to be instructed by Scripture if we see the Bible as optional. If we come to the Bible as something other than a foundation, if we look to the Scripture and we kind of take the parts that we do like and we discard the parts or just kind of overlook the parts that we do not like, or we reason away the parts that we don't like, then really, what is the point of even being here today if the Bible is not our one sure foundation? If we don't truly believe, as the Bible says, that the Word of God is alive and active and working in our lives. So my prayer, first and foremost, is the same for those who are apart from Christ as for those who are in Christ, that we would make, the Spirit of God would so move in our hearts today that we would be assured, we would be determined that the living Word of God is where we will build our lives. No matter if our feelings, we find at times our feelings are contrary to it, our thoughts are contrary to it, we will give way to the Word rather than our feelings. We will give way to the Word rather than our thoughts. No matter if our circles of our circles of peers disagree with what the Bible says, we will give way to the Word. No matter if we have grown accustomed to a different way of thinking or a different way of approaching life or thinking of eternity, whatever it might be, when we find ourselves in a different position than the Word, we will, by God's grace, submit to the Word of God in our lives, let go of ourselves and cling to the Word, if it is indeed our foundation. That's the first question that has to be settled. When we approach such issues as homosexuality and gender, especially in the day in which we live, the first question is not, should I attend a gay marriage? That's not the first question. The first question is the Bible your anchor for life? Does everything in your life and in your heart and in your plans and in your relationships, does it all revolve around, center in, comes from the Word of God? Does the Word of God determine my steps, my plans, my future? Or is someone else determining those things? Am I determining those things? Is the Word of God speaking into my life what is best for my life? Or is someone else? Or am I speaking into my life what I think is best for my life? It really does have to start with the Word. Everything has to start with the Word, but approaching this series, it has to begin with the Word of God. The Word has so much to say about all of life. The Bible has a lot to say about sexuality, about homosexuality, about gender. But in fact, the Bible does not just instruct us in the matters of this life. More importantly, the Bible instructs us of the matters of eternal life. And make no mistake about it, all the issues in our life, and these issues that we're going to address, homosexuality and gender, they're all connected to the gospel. The gospel of Jesus Christ is not separate from the rest of your life. They are directly connected. So God must help us. It's a good thing we prayed for help this morning, because we need God to help us see that He, the giver of life, has imparted to us, has given to us the path of fullness of life and life eternal in giving us His Word. Psalm 119:150 is absolutely true. The Word of God is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. So first of all, I want us to see this morning other foundations and their inability to impart life. There are other foundations. There are other belief systems, thought systems, ways of operating and approaching life that we can build our life on. They are there for us to choose from. But I believe if we closely examine them, we will see that they're not sufficient. They're not sufficient for life. They're surely not sufficient for life eternal. They can't sustain the weight. Other foundations can't take the weight of the building of life, and especially life eternal. They're simply unable to carry the load, to guide the soul, to stray from the pits and the dangers of this world, to withstand the hardships of life. Other foundations simply can't sustain us when life falls apart. Other foundations are not able to expose the falsehoods, the untruths, Other foundations are unable to lead to the fountain of life, which is Christ. We're going to talk briefly about three of these other foundations, and then we'll get back to John 17, 17. Three other foundations. Number one, there's the foundation of powerful, influential voices in our lives. Powerful, influential voices in our lives. For whatever reason, our human nature, we are attracted to and we admire the popular among us, the big names in our society. The American Idol is truly idolized in America. We automatically look up to the successful and the celebrity. We want to be like them. We want to do what they do. We want to have as many followers as they have. We want to achieve what they have achieved. We want to have what they have, enjoy what they enjoy. There's a certain allurement to the rich and the famous, the popular, the overcomers, the achievers. And so when athletic superstars or entertainers, big name entertainers, or nowadays social influencers, when they speak to the issues of life, when they say something about what's going on in the world or what just happened in the news or what's transpiring, what the discussion is in politics or wherever it is, when they make a stand, when they make a statement, they have far more sway over our thinking. And what we think is true and untrue and right and wrong and what should be done and what should not be done, they have far more sway over us than we maybe realize or even care to admit. We become, without even thinking about it, we become attracted to, admiring of people that we like to see on TV, people that play a good character on our favorite TV show. Oh, that we fall in love with that character and then we follow that person. The problem, however, of allowing the popular voices to be our foundation for life is celebrity status, of course, does not equate to absolute truth. It equates to what's hip. It equates to what's cutting edge. It equates to the appearance of what is majority thought. I mean, if this person says it, then everybody else must think it, surely. It certainly equates to the trend of the cultural moment. The thing about following the celebrity, following the famous person, is they don't step out of line with the trend. They're setting the trend or they're following it. They don't want to be an outsider, they want to be inside. So they are given to each cultural moment as it comes and goes. Politicians, especially, should get in trouble for this, but they don't when they vote one way 10 years ago and now all of a sudden they've changed their position 10 years from now. Why? They're riding the cultural moment. That's what celebrity does. That's what popularity does. So just because the famous say it, just because the big names believe it, doesn't make it true. Doesn't make it actual. Jesus said, in fact, in Matthew 19:24, Jesus says, "It is very difficult for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven." In other words, apart from everything that will cloud your vision just being in this life, a rich man or the person with power and influence, the person we look up to, the popular person, they have even that on top of everything that's already clouded their vision and their judgment for truth. Jesus said it's terribly hard for a rich man to get to heaven because there's so much other that he's already given his soul to in this earth. That foundation just won't suffice. Here's another foundation. The foundation of powerful peer voices and the cultural climate around us. What our peer group is thinking, those who are close to us, and what kind of we feel everybody's thinking of the spheres in which we move and operate. When it seems like everybody is of one opinion or belief, it becomes terribly difficult to express or hold a differing position. Does anybody know what I'm talking about here? Have you felt that? Have you felt that pressure? Especially in the cancel culture in which we live today. One step outside of the mainstream thought and you're done. You're canceled. You're boycotted. You're unfriended. You're no longer my friend. You are whatever. So we are prone then to be swayed in our beliefs when there seems to be so much pressure around us going the other way. Even more so, the closer an individual is to us. This is where it really hits home. This is where the rubber meets the road. This is where faith gets tested. This is where it gets stretched. When it happens to be a best friend or a family member. Our society has developed the attitude that if you disagree with me or if you disapprove of my lifestyle or choices, then you are against me. You are against me personally. You are a hater. You don't love me if you don't affirm my decisions. If you will not applaud and celebrate and endorse the way I've chosen to live my life, then that means you don't like me. You've betrayed me. You even hate me. The problem here is the same as the previous problem, isn't it? Just because the world endorses a view or a beloved friend or family member embraces a view of life doesn't make that view true. Makes it harder to resist. It makes it harder to state an opposite position, but it doesn't make it true. In fact, Jesus said in Matthew chapter 10, verse 37, whoever loves father or mother or son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. Meaning, there is an absolute truth in Christ that runs deeper and gives more than any earthly bond or friendship or family is able to give. The gospel is more fundamental and eternal than family. The gospel is an eternal issue. Family is a temporal issue. And as far as the voice of the world around us, it can be so loud at times. Colossians chapter 2 verse 8 says this. Listen to these words. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. In other words, if it's not according to Christ, it's empty deceit. Don't be taken in by it. No matter how popular or influential or loud it may be, the world cannot be trusted to impart to us truth. In fact, the world, you talk to any atheist, the world, when it rejects God, there's only one source that the world has to go to find a moral compass. It's called the human collective. In other words, what the most people in this community believe to be right or wrong, then that's what's right or wrong. It's the human collective. That's the only moral compass you have when you delete God. In other words, the majority decides, or the loudest or the most visible and influential decides what is right or and what is wrong. You see what's wrong with that foundation? When our peer voices and our cultural climate become our foundation, we begin to see the major cracks that lie in that foundation. Ask anyone who has fled a communist country what the human collective, how good it is as a moral compass. I sat and had lunch with a missionary couple this week. They've been serving in East Asia. The lady was born in China under communism in a socialist society. And she said, almost in tears to me over lunch, that the groups in our land today that are calling for socialism have no idea what they're calling for. She said, I lived it. Ask anyone who lives in a closed country, closed meaning the gospel is not allowed, Christians are not allowed, conversion is not allowed, churches and Bibles are not allowed. Ask any believer in that country, how good is it to let the human collective be the moral compass? Foundation just won't suffice. Third foundation, quickly. And this third foundation is really very influential in these issues we're addressing. And that's the foundation of our powerful inner voice of desires. We've talked about outer voices, the popular, the peer. And now's that inner voice of desire. The strong, convincing, ever-present pulling of our hearts to want things or to be something or to do something. We want for and we long for something. And that longing comes from so deep within because it's springing from the heart. It's coming from the soul. And it was meant to be filled, but only by God. That longing is there because God is not. That emptiness is there, that void is there, that loss of satisfaction is there because God is not there. It was meant to be filled by God and only God through Christ, but sin has entered and it has corrupted and twisted and distorted that upward desire for God, and it has bent it in on itself to desire for self, selfish, fleshly desire. And it is the most powerful voice apart from the voice of God. Other people really don't talk you into anything. Listen to me, church. Other people really don't talk you into anything that you yourself don't desire. That's why the motto, follow your heart, is one of the most dangerous and deceptive sayings in the world. The Bible says in Jeremiah 17:9, the heart is deceitful above all things, desperately wicked. Who can know it? Then it answers that question. God searches the heart. The desires of our flesh are rooted so deeply within us, we confuse them with our identity. Here's one of the major issues regarding homosexuality and gender. Our desires are so deep within us, we confuse them with our identity. What we want, we believe that's who we are. That's not true. That's not true. Apart from desiring God, nothing could be further from the truth. Fleshly desires do not equate to identity. They equate to disrupting our identity in Christ. Listen carefully to the words of warning in James chapter 1, verses 14 and 15. Listen very carefully to this. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Our own desires lure us and entice us, and we are tempted to give to them. It goes on to say, then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Following our own desire is not the path to freedom. Following our own desires is not the path to freedom. It's the path to death. And if we truly believe what the Bible says about desires and truly speak the truth, we will be hated. But Ephesians chapter 2 verse 3 says this, that apart from Christ, we live in the passions of our flesh. That's where we live. We exist. We dwell in the passions of our flesh. That's why we confuse them with who we are, because we live in them. It goes further to say, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind. So not only do we desire these things, we pursue these things. We go after these things. We live for these things. It goes on to say, and are by nature children of wrath. In other words, those things are bringing us into judgment. Goes on to say, like the rest of mankind. The reason why it's so deceptive is because that's the way everybody operates. The most dangerous and destructive thing we could possibly do apart from desiring God is to follow our own desires and to confuse what we want with who we are. Popular voices, close voices, inner voices will not suffice for life and salvation. We need someone greater. We need someone above us and beyond us, transcendent to us. We need someone more sure. We need someone of truth to speak truth. We need someone else. We need another voice. And praise God, church, He has spoken. Quickly go with me to John 17, 17. We'll look at the two parts of this verse. The second part of the verse first. Your word is truth. Jesus speaking of the word of the Father recorded for us in the Bible, sacred scripture. God has spoken. God has spoken. There is another voice, a sure voice, an eternal voice, an absolute truth voice. There is absolute, certain, objective, propositional, eternal truth that we can build our life on, that we can rest on, that we can hope for eternity on. Why? Because God's word is truth. Because God has spoken. God has said something, and we have what He has said. The Bible is without a doubt your most precious earthly possession. We know it is true because it has come straight from the Lord. Listen to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is breathed out by God. All scripture is breathed out by God. That means it comes straight from the Lord and is profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness. In other words, because scripture has come straight from the Lord, you can live by it. Live by it because it came straight from God.
It's breathed out by God. We can believe it. We can trust it. We can live by it because God breathed it. Listen to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 21. No prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. So there is the breathing of the word and there is the preservation of the word. In other words, the Bible is the truth for life because it did not come from man. That's what separates God's word as our foundation from every other foundation, outer voice or inner voice. They all come from man. This word comes from God. It came from the Father. It was ensured and preserved by the Spirit. We can believe it. The Bible will not let you down. It will not lead you astray. It will not deceive you or misguide you. Scripture is the word of God to you. It is truth. And Jesus said in John 8:32, truth will set you free. Desires will not set you free. Going your path, making your mark will not set you free. But truth will. And thanks be to God, we have it. It can be trusted to be true. It can be trusted for life. First part of that verse, Jesus prays to the Father, sanctify them in the truth. Now we know what Jesus is referring to when he says truth, because then he tells us, your word is truth. Sanctify them then in your word. That's the truth. But what does it mean when Jesus says sanctify them? How does the word of God then, if the truth he's talking about is the word of God, that's capital T, ultimate truth. If that's the word, then what work is the word doing our life? How does it perform in our life to do this sanctify? And what is this sanctify? Well, sanctify simply means this. It means to set something apart for the Lord. Set it apart for God. You can sanctify a lot of things. You can sanctify a building. This building has been set apart to worship the Lord. It's been set apart for God. This building has been sanctified. You can sanctify your day. You say, okay, every morning I'm going to spend 15 minutes or 30 minutes or an hour with the Lord. I'm going to sanctify. I'm going to set apart that part of my day for the Lord. You can sanctify things. You can sanctify days. When the Bible speaks of a person being sanctified, set apart for the Lord, it's talking about our salvation. It's talking about eternal salvation from beginning to end. New birth, new life, eternal life. Sanctification. Sanctify them in the truth. Save them. Keep them. Take them to glory in the truth. In the Word. In the Word. In other words, listen to Paul's words to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. He says this to Timothy. He says, from childhood, you have been acquainted with the sacred writings. That's Scripture. You've been acquainted with the sacred writings. Listen to this. Which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. That's what it means when the Bible, when Jesus says, sanctify them in the truth, your word is truth. The Bible leads us and takes us to salvation through Christ. The Bible will take you to Christ, and Christ will take you to glory. That's what he's praying for. That's how important and crucial it is for the Bible to be our foundation. It's not only absolute truth for our life right here and now, it's truth for our eternity. If we truly want a life that is truly full and free and it lasts forever, then we need to get into the Word and listen to God. He has spoken. He has spoken concerning the matters of life. He has spoken concerning homosexuality. He has spoken concerning gender. He has spoken concerning salvation. He has spoken. The question is not, does God speak? The question is, do we listen? Do we embrace? Do we believe? For the next two Sunday mornings, we're going to go directly to what the Bible says about these issues. And we're going to have to ask ourselves, each and every person, what's going to be my foundation? An outer voice? An inner voice? Or God's voice? Which one's going to bring me life? Which one's going to bring me salvation? Let's pray. Father, help us today. If we are believing in Christ, then help us to once again reorient our lives in the Word of God, making God's Word our priority, our lamp, our light, our guide, our voice. To heed and hold and trust and embrace and love what says God Almighty to us. We confess, Father, that just living in the world around us, we lose focus and we start allowing other voices to speak into our lives and to be our guide. And Lord, we know that's faulty. We know the deceptions and yet we get caught up in them. Help us, Lord, this morning to confess and repent. If we are apart from you, if we are unbelieving and we find ourselves listening to the sermon here on campus or online, Father, would you so compel us to look to Christ? Find in Him what we're looking for in other places that will not suffice. And help us, Father, to make Christ, make your Word, to make the gospel our foundation. It's in His name we pray. Amen.
You have been listening to the sermon ministry of Will Owens, pastor of Grassy Pond Baptist Church, Yaphley, South Carolina. Be sure to visit willowens.com to hear more sermons, read blogs, and learn more about the missions branch P67 Missions. Again, thank you for listening to Will Owens.